Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, is critical race theory compatible with biblical Christianity? What about critical race theory? What is critical race theory? I'm looking at an article that says, an angry mom goes nuclear over communist values in the schools. A parent criticized members of the Carmel Central School District School Board for emotionally abusing the children and teaching them communist values in Putnam County, New York, at the school board business meeting on Thursday. Tanya Abraham, whose child attends one of the schools in the district, criticized the school board for allowing her teaching her kids Black Lives Matter and the critical race theory, the LGBTQ and the hate police, and the district's curriculum is teaching all of that, she said. She accused the teachers of allegedly discriminating against religious students and for promoting cancel culture. Quote, stop indoctrinating our children. Stop teaching our children to hate police. Stop teaching our children if they don't agree with the LGBTQ community, they're homophobic. Stop teaching them the critical race theory. You don't know what their family values in life consist of. You don't know what makes up their life, and you're teaching them communism in our schools, end quote. Greg, how do you respond to a mother that's excited like that and makes those statements?
I feel for her. I feel for the next generation. The realization, I just spoke with my son-in-law about my own grandson and how I'm concerned about any potential of his having an interaction with the government-controlled school system today. Because more and more across America, and quite frankly, the left would like to turn everything into Venezuela, everything into California, and the chaos that we see in those places. We're telling little boys and girls that, you know, if they're light-skinned, they're evil. I mean, that would be like going to a little Japanese girl and saying, you know, you're evil because, you know, that date that will live in infamy, you know, Pearl Harbor, you're evil because of something that took place 8 decades ago. Why would we say that? And that's just 8 decades ago. We want to tell little white children that because of stuff that started, the left wants to say 300 years ago, 1619 Project or whatever, 400 years ago. They want to say that, but the reality is slavery has touched every culture in the world, seemingly, and it's been going on since the very beginning. I mean, this is nothing. That was nothing new. For people to be hurt, harmed, disparaged, whatever, is nothing new. But we've eradicated that. As a matter of fact, from the time we declared our independence from Great Britain, from the time we shook off the chains of tyranny from King George, from that time we literally said, "There's a date certain." Look in your Constitution, folks. They were looking to sever the importation of slaves by 1806. So literally from 1776, they said, "Hey, we got 30 years. We're going to put a stop to this." Now it was still going on around the world. By the way, again, red, yellow, black, white, every color group's been enslaved. We're all of one blood, though. We're all the same race. We're the human race. And it's Christians that said, you know what? All lives matter.
That's right. Absolutely.
All lives matter. In fact, as soon as you say Black Lives Matter, as soon as you isolate one group, you're the racist, folks. As soon as you put something in front of lives matter, Christians since 1973 and over 60 million aborted babies, murdered little babies, we've said all lives matter, including the 18 million plus black lives that matter. It's not isolating one group or another. It's saying all lives matter. We're all created in the image of God. Therefore, we have human life has value. All lives matter. So don't ever fall into that trap. Don't ever put one group in front of another and say, this life matters. Because when you say this life matters, you're saying, well, this life over here matters a little less. All lives matter.
That's exactly the fundamental right. problem. But, Greg, one of the things that I perceive, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Are you concerned about the critical race theory and Black Lives Matter agenda being taught in our public schools? Are you concerned about it permeating now every branch of the military service? Are you concerned about Black Lives Matter and the critical race theory being promulgated and pushed and taught and lectured on in every branch of federal government and many of our state governments? Are you concerned about where it's headed as a nation? Greg, I believe, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. If you'd like to jump in with your 2 cents worth, I asked you a question. Greg, I think it would behoove us to basically peel the wrapper off, and let's talk about the critical race theory. What's its origin? What is the major theory in it? What is the purpose behind it? When did it begin? And how did it begin? And how do we recognize it in our nation? Now I'm looking at an article here. It says, what is critical race theory? The spread of critical race theory is in our schools, and it sparked controversies across America. And it goes on to say, the movement itself came in reaction to the perceived failures of classical liberalism in the 19th and 20th century. Race, according to this view, is a relatively recent social construct that is weaponized by dominant groups to oppress others. As so-called radical reckoning has been the propagation of various ideas and often associated with critical race theory. Certain buzzwords like systemic racism or implicit bias have emerged in school districts, diversity statements, corporate training, educational material, and all government agencies today. So as we think about critical race theory, Greg, do you have a moment to let's simply address that for the listeners? Perhaps they are thinking about, well, just race thought or just talking about race and the differences in the races in our school system and in the governmental system and the bureaucratic process. But what is specifically, what is critical race theory and how do we view that? What's its origin?
Well, I think the origin goes much further back than most people might believe.
Yeah.
Understand it is cultural Marxism. It's taking the principles of Marxism and then overlaying race. But where did we get this idea that we're different races? Where did we get this idea, folks? And I want you to think about what has hit academia for over 100 years now and has taken us down this rabbit hole to create such division here in the 21st century. Now, think about a little a fella. He was supposed to be headed off to a seminary, and he took a hard left turn and got on the Beagle and became a naturalist, and you know had no credentials as such. But his name's Charles Darwin, and we've been teaching kids in school evolution based on some of the basic, early principles of Charles Darwin. But they keep morphing and twisting. But I'd like for you to know that his original title on the Origin of the Species. There's an origin of the species by means of natural selection or the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. Did you hear what I said? This is his title now, or the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. What is that saying? That's saying, first off, we've got some a different origin. Whether you be red, yellow, black, or white. And it's also saying that some of these groups are favored or to be favored. How much more divisive? But that's come to full bloom in the 21st century. And it's being used by individuals that only seek power. They do not care the amount of damage done. They don't care that kids are not learning to read, write, and add, and subtract. Matter of fact, let me point it to a very I'm going to point the finger at Duval County. I spent a lot of time in Duval County. Duval County Public Schools spend, I believe, you can look at the budget today, it's probably $1.8 billion plus on 125,000, 130,000 school kids. So $13,000 or $14,000 per child per year. And it's an accredited school district. That means these kids ought to be able to roll right out of high school and roll right into a junior college, no problem. Yet in the junior colleges, they're having to teach some remedial math, remedial English. You know, they're not getting the basics down. Many of them, most of them, cannot read and write, add, subtract on grade level. What's the problem, folks? Now, listen, Duval County is much better than many districts, but it has still been a horrible failure, a horrible failure. Do you know why? Because we don't focus on academics anymore. There's no academic rigor. It literally has gone into complete social program bonanza. And again, Duval County does better than many, I believe, and it's still, in my view, an abject failure. We're not teaching our kids the raw academics. We're teaching them a new social construct. And if you don't believe it, go to any school board meeting and start listening to the arguments, the debates that go on. They're not debating about academics anymore. These are individuals that are so politically driven from D.C. to Tallahassee to Duval County. They're so politically driven, they don't care anymore about the next generation. I'm sorry, folks. It's just an absolute truth that needs to be understood, and Christians need to stand up, be salt and light, even in the public square. Even in the public square. Don't give up this ground. Don't give up this territory.
That's right. And, Greg, one of the things that I think that is a misnomer, when they talk about the critical race theory, it plants the idea that somehow, some way, that there's a need to fix a problem. And the problem doesn't exist. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but as I look across America, we had a black president elected twice, two terms. You go to most of the major cities across America, and you have a black mayor, black sheriff. The leadership in the city councils or the board of aldermen are generally made up of a major number, half or better, of black people. And so why do we find that supposedly there is a systemic racist problem in America? It is all a cover for introducing nothing but Marxism. I'm looking at an article that says, critical race theory, fruit of Marxist on the long march. Os Guinness made the statement. He talks about a few years ago, a few Americans outside the higher education heard of critical race theory, which contends the concept of race is not biological, but rather a culturally invented category designed by white people to oppress people of color. Now, having leaked from its academic lab, critical race theory is spreading exponentially to school boards, corporate offices, the military, all governmental agencies, and many parents and students and employees and citizens are courageously pushing back, sensing something is deeply wrong, whether without necessarily having a full understanding of what they're fighting. But it's urgent that the citizens of this nation realize that the critical race theory is not merely erroneous teaching and that the leak was not accidental, warns Os Guinness of Oxford Educational Scholar at the unusual cultural and political vantage point. Born to Christian medical missionaries in China, where he witnessed the Mao Communist Revolution, Guinness contends that critical race theory is an intentional, systemic, and systematic revolutionary movement in America going back to the 1930s, intended to replace the unique experience called the Constitutional Republic in the United States of America. And through this process, Mao's process of communism, the death of more than 100 million people in the 20th century alone. He goes further and states, and I quote, the so-called cancel culture and critical race theory are the fruit of what has been described as the long march through the institutions and the triumph of cultural Marxism or neo-Marxism, as it would be called today. That is new Marxism. So, Greg, am I correct in stating, would this be a correct statement, that cultural, the critical race theory is neo-Marxism, that is new Marxism, that's being introduced and pushed in the United States of America in every phase and facet of our federal government and many state governments and through the boards of education to brainwash our children to believe that communism, socialism slash communism, is to be embraced through this endeavor. Is this what we are looking at? Are we really watching that take place today?
100%. And race has just become the new vector to introduce the virus into the patient. They will use whatever's necessary. And at this stage in the equation, there's fear factor. And when I say that, in 2016, Donald Trump got X number of votes within the minority community, red, yellow, black, and white. You know, they break it down into your blacks, both male and female, your Asians, and this. Each category in 2016, he did pretty good as compared to others. In 2020, he did much better. The numbers on each one advanced substantially. And I believe part of that, part of the fear factor on the left is they don't want to give up that 90% plus vote out of the black population for Democrats in all these elections. It's all about power. So if they can create turmoil, if they can create hate and disdain and discontent, perhaps they can regain and, you know, push their number back to 96 or 98% and then completely ignore and take advantage of those folks that they claim to support. Understand when I say take advantage of, what has been done? What has the left done to advantage or to advance any group within America? I mean, if we're going to pick out black folks and say, hey, you know, we're wanting to help this portion of the society, this portion of the culture, go to any predominantly black city in America, and it will be led by Democrats. Tell me how they have been helped by that Democratic rule for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Look at cities like Detroit and tell me, have they done better under Democrat leadership? Now, the promise is always there. The promise is always there. The fulfillment is never there. How many more times will folks be lied to? I mean, it was an Al Gore, or they talked about putting y'all back in chains. You know, it's always the fear factor. They'll run ads. The left will run ads about hangings. And when was the last time somebody was hung in America? Was struck? When was the last time that happened? However, that's always the fear tactic, and it's always in the most extreme hyperbolic form, and it's wrapped up in these elections. It's all about the power, folks. I keep saying it's all about the power. They do not care how destructive, and it leads to things like this. You saw this Yale professor. You heard about it in the news. This Yale professor is talking to her class, and I mean what's her name? My goodness, I had it just a minute ago. Aruna Kiliani, whatever. She speaks to this Yale University class and says that she has fantasies about putting bullets, taking a gun and sticking it to a white person's head and pulling the trigger multiple times and walking away, wiping the blood from her hands and having no guilt. You know, think about this. Pull up her quote. Pull up, I don't know if there's a video, but pull up the quote that she gives. This is on this is the Ivy League, folks. What's going on in your state college? What's going on in your state university? What are they teaching them there?
I'm looking at the quote in my hand. She says, and I quote, "I had fantasies of unloading a revolver in the head of any white person that got in my way, burying their body, wiping my bloody hands as I walked away relatively guiltless and a bounce in my step and laughing," end quote. She says, we keep forgetting that directly talking to white people about race is a waste of breath. She said, we're asking a demented, violent predator who thinks that they are a saint or a superhero to accept responsibility. It ain't going to happen, she says. Can you think of how many, as you said, that would have heard that and then pick up on that as the dog whistle, as they used to say that Trump would use as the dog whistle to motivate others to go out and do harm? Greg, one of the bottom lines that I look at, and I believe that our listeners need to understand, in Marxism, there are five major tenets, and three of which is, number one, to dethrone God. Karl Marx said that a religious people cannot be controlled by a political system or ideology. Number two is to destroy the nuclear family. because if you've got a destroyed family, you do not have the father in the home to take the head leadership. And the third is to divide the people by an economic status or by race. And I believe we find today, Greg, that America is being divided with a purpose. And I'm looking at an article here that spells it out. Critical race theory is Marxist. Its real target is Christianity and the Bible. The far left wants it in our schools. The war on Christians is in full gear. The Biden administration and the woke left society are embracing a radical new approach to our culture and life. It's called the critical race theory. In a nutshell, it claims that people who are white and from European backgrounds have succeeded because of their skin color and have oppressed the people of color. Now, Greg, under Marxism, it was dealing with the societal political structure that supposedly had the political structure that are the oppressors, and those that are the workers are the oppressed. And that's been now changed and modified, that in America, it's being taught that the white person is the oppressor and the black person or the person of color are the oppressed. And therefore, we got to reverse the process so that the oppressed will become the oppressors rather than being oppressed. And it is the Marxist construct that is destroying our nation today. I'm looking further in this article. It says, make no mistake about it, the left's anti-Christian, anti-Semitic agenda is being ramped up dramatically. The power grab by the left to systematically dismantle religion and banish God from the lips and the minds and the hearts of the faithful, remove his holy name from our civil society, even destroying religious symbols and artifacts along the way. Under the critical race theory, the Black Lives Matter protests are good, even if they violate public health orders. But if Christians want to meet and pray, that's bad and that's evil. And it goes on to talk about how that has been implemented in our society in America today through the false pandemic that is literally a plandemic. I'm looking at another article, Greg, then I want you to address these. This is Five Ugly Truths About the Critical Race Theory. Critical race theory is currently getting a ton of attention on the national and international stage, which is long overdue, but there are also many misconceptions about it. Here are five questions that many people are asking about the critical race theory. Number one, is the critical race theory racist? And the answer to that is yes. Does critical race theory advance the vision of activism of the civil rights movement? No. Does critical race theory say all white people are racist? Yes. Is critical race theory Marxist? Yes, indeed. Is critical race theory an analytical tool for understanding race and racism? No, not at all. And it goes on to explain each of those answers in the five segments of this 10-page major massive article, but it is absolutely true. One of the questions is critical race theory Marxist. It is accurate to say that critical race theory is Marxism, but not specifically Marxism. More accurately adapted, it is a form of neo-Marxism or new Marxism. The main difference in Marxism is that it concerns primarily with the economic class and rejects racial categories in favor of workers' solidarity. What this means is the critical race theory in the culture as we know it today literally operates like Marxism, but uses the race instead of economic class as the line in the social satisfaction, above which people are privileged or oppressed, and below which people are marginalized or oppressed. And it goes on to talk about with great detail of it coming from the Marxist agenda. And Greg, I am concerned when I see Christians embracing the Black Lives Matter, which has nothing to do with black lives. It has all to do with Marxist agenda. And to see Christians embracing the critical race theory. For example, in the Southern Baptist Convention in 2019, they passed a resolution. It was Resolution 9. I believe you're familiar with that. Resolution 9, it was embracing the critical race theory. And as a result of that, and most of our listeners may not be aware of it, as a result of that, 2.2 million numbers dropped out of the Southern Baptist Convention. 2.2 million since June of 2019. A reduction of the membership of the Southern Baptist Convention by 2.2 million. Now, with new people on the horizon to take the leadership role as of next week, and I believe it's a meeting in some place in your state, I believe over in Memphis, if I'm not mistaken. But the new leadership role, now they have introduced new resolution that literally condemn that racist theory called critical race theory. And as a result of that, it is, I'm looking at articles that Southern Baptists keep quarreling over critical race theory. Here's another article that says Southern Baptists introduced resolution repudiating critical race theory. And it goes on to talk about they made a grave mistake in embracing that. And you know the battle and the fights that have taken place as a result of that. Speak to it very quickly. We've got about a minute and a half left. Speak to that issue very quickly about Christians embracing critical race theory and what it is being, and it's antithetical to biblical truth and what God would have us to do.
Well, that initial resolution a couple of years ago was put forward as a warning, that we should not embrace critical race theory. It was amended and massaged and manipulated, and it all of a sudden became a halfway endorsement of critical race theory that, you know, it can be used, perhaps it should be limited, but it can be used. No, it can't be used, not biblically. Not biblically, it can't be used. It's hurtful, it's harmful, it's divisive, it's damaging, and it's the furthest from what God's Word has to say. And on that notion, you know, it was Peter that said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons."
Yes.
Now, how does God judge? How does God judge? It has everything to do with right and wrong. It has everything to do with the deeds done in the flesh and our rejection of or our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But there's no judgment. There's no judgment according to God's Word because you are red, yellow, black, or white. Do you understand, folks? We're all of the same blood. It's a sinful blood. It's an Adamic blood. We're all of the same blood, and we're all in the same boat. As soon as you start picking folks out, dividing by color, guess what, folks? You step far afield, far outside of what God's Word has to say. By the way, this past week, it was very evident what the left is willing to do. I've said for a long time they're willing to sell out their own family. AOC's grandmothers in Puerto Rico, they incurred two hurricanes back in 2017, had a big earthquake last year, and the Highland Nation is a mess, you know. However, you know, the aid that's supposed to be going there has been abused by leaders in that country, and chaos has ensued. Her grandmother's home was in disarray, and she said it's all Donald Trump's fault. When Matt Walsh started a GoFundMe page, over $100,000 hits the account. And what did they do? They said, we don't want the money. So literally, AOC or somebody in her family said, no, 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 no. We're not going to take that charity. We're going to wait for government to do it. Think of
Greg, thank you.
Charity.
Thank you so much.
Charity.
Yes, Greg, thank you so much for joining us on this very important broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.